This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Andy, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. And how's the offseason gone for you and the fam?
It's been good. I haven't seen you over in the neighborhood, even though we're not far from each other.
Right.
You've been hiding out from me, but this works. It's good talking to you. It's just took a trip with one of my daughters to New York City last weekend and for her birthday, and great time with just me and her. Loved it.
That's awesome.
Hey, Andy, John Quintero, great to have you on the program. Very much looking forward to the start of the baseball season. And for you, as you get ready to start your fourth year as a Major League skipper, think back to when you got this job and where you're at right now. Where do you think you've grown as a Major League manager? Because every year you're working on doing something a little bit better.
Shoot, Coach, you come out firing. That's a good question. Your first year coming into the job, obviously it was a drastically different roster. We were in the process of kind of moving some guys, and things have definitely changed from the landscape from a roster perspective. We've got some young talent arriving. For me, it's just the acclimation process to handling a staff and working through people instead of working directly to players. That was the biggest challenge when you sat in this seat as opposed to managing in the minor leagues when you're hands-on with everybody. Now you're working through a staff, and definitely feel much better with that right now than I did 3 years ago, and excited about the group of guys we have here from a player's perspective and a coaching staff perspective.
You bring up the coaching staff. You had some new additions to the coaching staff this year. Johnny Washington takes over as the full-time hitting coach, and you bring in Rob Barajas, who's really had all of these young guys as they've come up. What do you think those two guys are going to add? And Johnny Washington's been on the staff, so we know what he brings to the table. But talk a little bit about Rob Barajas and what he's going to bring to the table as your bench coach this year.
Yeah, Rod, obviously a 17-year catcher in the big leagues. So there's a ton of playing experience there. But he's also been very impactful with our guys at the minor league level in El Paso the last 3 years, I believe. He's won a championship, been near the finals every single year with a good contingent of young guys, and built very strong relationships with those guys. They all rave about him. They all connect well with him. And, for us, we haven't had on the staff at this point in time an experienced guy dedicated to catching, which is what we've needed to kind of check that box, to have somebody to work alongside of Austin Hedges and Francisco Mejia and whoever else is a part of our Major League club when Austin Allen is someday. We have that guy now that he's done it at the big league level. He knows how to communicate it. He knows how to teach it. He knows what it feels like to be back there. It's kind of been a hole of our staff for a while, and it's really good to fill that hole, and definitely excited about what Rod's going to bring to the table.
Hey, Andy, one of the other guys you hired, I know he's going to work as the assistant hitting coach, also going to work with the infielders, the former major leaguer Damian Easley, who a lot of people may not realize has been in the organization now for a number of years. And I've talked to some guys that have been in the organization, have worked with him, and they really like him. How did he end up on your staff?
He was the most impactful teammate I had as a player in the big leagues.
Wow.
So I got this job 4 years ago. He's one of the first people I offered a job to. He said no. I asked again. He said no. I asked a third time. I punched out. And then his son finally graduated from high school, and in year four, he's finally ready to hop on board and get to work. So I've had as high of opinion of Damian Easley since the day I got here, and it's probably only gone up because I've watched him work in relative anonymity in the backfields in Peoria with nobody watching and no fanfare as he kind of pours his knowledge into our players. And I think what has been most impressive with him is this guy, he was a Major League All-Star. He had a 16, 17-year career. He loves teaching the game, and he's a guy who wants to impact people. And as classy of a human being as I've been around, and it took four asks to finally get a yes. I'm thrilled to kind of put him in what we consider to be his sweet spot, impacting hitters and infielders at the same time, and definitely excited about his addition.
Andy, we sit here January 16th, and once again, free agency seems to be at a crawl. Does considering where the Padres have some open spots at, for at it seems like at the top of the rotation as well as third base, do you see as longer this drags out as more that there presents more opportunity for the Pods to maybe nab somebody at something that they feel is fair at a market value?
Yeah, I think we hope so. We went into this offseason pretty committed to exploring every possibility that existed out there on the market, and AJ's as diligent as anybody when it comes to that and aware of what everyone and everything costs to add to our club. And we were very committed to the idea that we weren't going to make the 2019 team better at expense of the 2022, 23, 24 team. We were going to make decisions that were going to make us succeed for a long period of time. And at this point in time, nothing has lined up that we've really felt great about, with the exceptions of adding Garrett Richards and Ian Kinsler to our organization, and feel really good about those two guys and what they're going to bring. And we're still remaining opportunistic through the remainder of this offseason. There's some obvious places where we can improve this club. But I know from a trade perspective, AJ is very committed to making sure we're good for the long haul here and not short-circuiting the process.
Hey, right now, Andy, you know, we sit here, me and Tony, we talk all the time, you know, about third base. I know you guys are doing the same thing. You know, we were talking about Ty France, a kid that we've watched since his days at San Diego State. He's come up through the organization, and he's performed well. I don't know where he's at defensively. I haven't seen him play in person now in a number of years, but I would think, you know, he'll get a little bit of a look in spring training. But, you know, if you didn't sign anybody else right now and you guys arrived in Peoria, how are you going to go about trying to find a third baseman from what you have?
Yeah, I think Ty's got as legitimate of a shot as anybody to end up in that position. And there's things we really like about him. And it's a random thing to just bring up at the forefront. He obviously hit 20-plus home runs last year, but guy got hit by 27 pitches and has, like, led his league every place he's been. And, like, I'm sorry, that's getting on base.
Yeah.
And we as a club got hit by 30 pitches last year, and he got hit by as many as our whole team.
Wow.
And that's like a legitimate skill that people have and bring to the table. And it is about getting on base, and that's part of his game. And so he's done some really nice things. He's hit balls hard, pitches in the zone he should hit, he's hit. He's done some nice things. I'm very excited personally about Esteban Quiroz, who he picked up in the Colton Brewer trade. Been predominantly a second baseman. He went and terrorized the fall league to about an 1,100 OPS.
Wow.
Walks, gets on base, has sock from the left side. Somebody that we've, like, way under the radar, nobody else in the world's really considering or talking about. Put up close to 1,000 OPS in Double A last year. He can hit, and there's some things to like about his game. He's playing really well in Mexico right now in the playoffs. I think he had a couple home runs the other day. I know Fernando Tatis seems to grab all the international winter league highlights.
Yeah.
Esteban Quiroz is doing some really nice things as well, and you know, we're going to bounce him around the infield in spring training and give him a look at these positions. And sometimes it's the guy nobody expects that you look up and years later is the guy that has helped change the trajectory of an organization.
Padres manager Andy Green joins us here. Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Andy, let's say that nothing happens from this point on before spring training and with the starting rotation. Are you comfortable, you know, obviously you guys are going to take a look at your young guys, you know, the Quattros of the world, the Logan Allens of the world. Are you comfortable right now, from based on what you have, that these guys could pitch at the big league level opening day if that needed to be the case?
I think we're going to be looking at a lot of what we looked at last year with Joey Lucchese and Eric Lauer. Both of those had a part of the season was an acclimation process.
Right.
That was not the easiest. And, you know, we got some guys we're talking about bringing to camp that haven't played professional baseball very long. And we're going to bring them into Major League camp and give them an opportunity to compete. And then we also have the Chris Paddocks and the Logan Allens that we're very excited about. But it might not quite be their time. They might show us that it is their time. And I think we're excited about the contingent of guys we have, and we also understand that, like, some of these guys might need a little bit of time to acclimate to the big leagues, because just like we did last year with Lauer and Lucchese, those were the first two guys in Major League Baseball from their draft class in the big league starting baseball games. Like, sometimes perspective is really necessary for that, to understand what's going on
Good
there.
Point.
You know, Chris Paddock doesn't have a ton of innings under his belt. He's had some injuries, but we're definitely he's going to pitch. He's going to pitch well at the big league level for a long time. There's a lot of stuff we love about him and Logan Allen, and Cal's going to have opportunity in camp. And, you know, in that sense, the list is long, but we're going to need some people to rise up and claim those opportunities.
Hey, Andy, Anderson Espinosa and Denelson Lamet, where are they at health-wise now?
Yeah, Anderson Espinosa is probably a little bit further along than Denelson Lamet is, just given date of surgery. They'll both be in major league camp. Lamet, you know, it's going to be a mid-season type thing when he's back pitching for us, hopefully. You always have to watch how the TJ progression goes. He feels really good, really strong. We've had to kind of hold him back more than turn him loose with his throwing program. Anderson Espinosa got ramped all the way up in instructional league to being able to pitch in games. Did not do that, but he was ready to do that, and we're going to take a slow progression with him through major league camp. Don't anticipate him throwing any big league camp innings. He'll be in camp with us, throw some bullpens. His first innings will probably come in minor league camp, and he'll have the opportunity to kind of go on a similar progression to what Chris Paddock did last year. Get his legs back under him on the mound coming off of TJ, and if his results mirror Chris Paddock's, I think we're going to be really excited about it.
Andy, over the weekend, the big news coming out of FanFest, Will Myers announced that he was moving back to the outfield, which I think makes it a very competitive spring training outfield, but nevertheless a crowded one. Say, if nothing happens moving forward, this should be a pretty good competition. Will it be open at all three outfield spots, or are there some spots that are kind of locked down, obviously Will Myers being in left?
I would think that everybody has an opportunity to compete. That at this point, we haven't seen somebody rise up and distinguish themselves to the level that you know, they're going to be locked in there for 162 games. We do look at certain guys, expect them to play a high number of games. But as far as being out there for 155 to 162, I think that's all going to be determined by the way we perform, not just in spring training, but as the season unfolds as well, obviously. But the reality of our group of kind of six guys that we go in there with kind of the more established six guys, is five of those guys are optionable. And I don't mean that in a negative way to any of those guys.
Yeah.
But what's perceived sometimes as a roster crunch is just called getting depth as an organization. And, you know, like when you have five outfielders that are optionable, not saying that you want to option any of them down right away, but sometimes that's what real depth looks like, and that's what next man up theory looks like, man. It's not just the three guys start on opening day in the outfield that become the biggest impactors of your club. Sometimes it's the Franmil Reyes who comes up halfway through the season, and you go, whoa, where'd this guy come from?
Right.
And you need those guys to be real reinforcements in the minor leagues. And there's not one of those six guys that's pegged for that role specifically at this point in time, but we're going to watch spring unfold and see the competitive juices they bring to the table. And anticipation is we have the makings of a very good outfield, and that's a great thing. That's not a problem.
Hey, Andy, one of the guys you guys picked up off of waivers early on in the hot stove league was Greg Garcia, who has had a pretty good run with the Cardinals. I know he didn't have a big year last year, but he's a guy that can play a lot of different spots. And you know, let's face it, in the National League, you got to have strong bench players, and he's a guy that has done a pretty good job in his career. How do you see his role with the Padres?
Yeah, we love those local guys, too, when you get a guy like Greg on the club. What a high-character guy. Got the opportunity to know him a little bit this offseason, just kind of seen him around Petco as he's done some workouts. But he's a guy who's always gotten on base. That's always been our Achilles heel for the last, not just 3 years I've been here, but for the last 5 years. Puts together competitive at-bat, gets on base, and defends the field. That's kind of where his bread is buttered, and that's what we're looking for him to do. Potential to play a lot of shortstop for us at times, potential to bounce around the infield and get opportunity. And you know, I don't think we're going into the season expecting him to be the opening day shortstop, but you know, sometimes having a guy like him allows you other opportunities to develop other guys in time, and you can put a quality Major League Baseball player on the field on a consistent basis, and that's the way we see him.
Andy, where do you see, as a team, as a unit, where do you see the need for the biggest improvement if this team is going to play some winning baseball this year?
Offensively, it's getting on base. It's a simple message, man. Our guys, we have to get on base better to be successful as a club. Part of that is, like, who we acquire and targeting guys like Greg Garcia and minor league guys like Esteban Quiroz and bringing up the Luis Uriases and the Fernando Tatis as the guys who have gotten on base in their careers. We think that's going to help turn the tide a little bit for us. And then it's starting pitching for us. You know, obviously our bullpen was very successful last year. It was a group that a lot of people would consider guys not having big names. And we need to make some strides in that rotation. We're very excited about the arms, and this is kind of the start of those arms showing up at the big league level. Logan Allen and Chris Paddock both have real opportunities to impact us this year.
Hey, Andy, the catching spot, you got two talented guys back there. Hedger is one of the best defensive catchers, I think, in baseball, and hopefully, you know, he get that bat going in April, not wait till the midway part of the season. He's got some power. We saw the Mejia come up and have his moments, and you know, he didn't have the luxury of spending 6 weeks in Peoria catching that pitching staff and developing relationships, and it seemed like he maybe was a little bit behind defensively. How do you see that spot, and with two young guys, how can you get them enough of playing time as they're trying to really establish their careers?
We're excited about what both of them bring to the table. Austin Hedges, I've said it before, the second half he had last year is indicative of the type of player I believe he is and can be for us from an offensive perspective. A lot of power, a lot of opportunity to like drive in runs, and I think he's going to continue to get on base better. Love the resolve he showed up with in FanFest and stated what he wanted to be as a major league catcher for the Padres. I think that's outstanding. He is actually in San Diego right now. He's working at Petco, working on his receiving every single day. He's in here grinding with some coaches and himself, and he's hitting in the cage. And the sky's the limit for both those guys. And I don't know how that's all going to play out as this spring unfolds and the season starts. But I'm excited about the drive that both of them are showing and excited about the direction we're headed in that position. And, you know, we've still explored the market for kind of that veteran backup to add to the mix if we feel like one of them needs further seasoning in the minor leagues. It's just not a foregone conclusion right now that both of them are going to be up there splitting time when the season starts.
Well, you certainly have two young, driven individuals. They're driven in different ways, but you could see the fire in those guys. Andy, we certainly appreciate your time, man, and I know I'll see you out in spring training. Coach will probably see you out there as well.
Hey, Andy, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy what's left of the off season.
Sounds good, guys. Look forward to talking to you all more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.